So, I'd like to talk about what it means to be a soldier, but I'd like to talk about it from an angle that maybe you hadn't thought about, or maybe you have, I don't know. I don't know what you think about, but I'd just like to look in a direction of this. So I'd like to start out by saying a few things about myself. I've had people say some things to me, which if we've lived very long, we'll all have the opportunity for someone to say something to us that doesn't feel real nice. And people might say something that's kind of critical. We might think they're fault-finding. We might think they're harsh. And it never makes us feel just excited when someone says something that's less than positive to us. If a husband tells the wife that he didn't really enjoy the meal that she prepared, it's a hard one to swallow. And if she tells him that what he was doing wasn't satisfactory, it's an affront. But we have to be able to tell one another when we don't please one another. We have to be as tactful as possible. I think reality says that there is we know not everything is positive, so we have to be able to say this is not what I expected in some way or another. But, so I've had some things. I'll just share a couple of them. I've been accused of working all the time. I've been told I don't know how to relax. And maybe everybody's right. I don't know. But I will tell you that somehow life seems real serious to me. And maybe even you think I should lighten up. But one thing I've found is life is a lot of work. Marriage and a home is a lot of work. You don't even have to be remodeling your house to find out that marriage and a home is a lot of work. Being a Christian many times appears to be a lot of work. And I know I could find someone that would find fault with that statement. And maybe it'd be better for me to use responsibility instead of work. Life has a lot of responsibilities. And marriage and a home has a lot of responsibilities. And being a Christian has a lot of responsibilities. There's a lot of enjoyable things in life. There's a lot of enjoyable things in marriage. There's a lot of enjoyable things about having a home. And I have been blessed to enjoy, have those type of enjoyments in life. But I will tell you that no one is going to giggle themselves through life and end up being a winner. And I'll stand on that statement. You're never going to face life and everything you have to find something to giggle about. There's serious things out there in life. And sometimes as a pastor, I feel like I don't serve enough happy food. It's probably more like eating roast and potatoes and carrots and gravy or something. I don't know. My objective is that we would grow spiritually, that we would grow individually, and that we would grow as a congregation. I believe that. when I came here, and I still believe it. I believe that if the core of the congregation is strong spiritually, then the numbers will follow. And that's what I want us to have. I want us to have spiritual strength. So I want us to talk about some verses we find over in 2 Timothy. I'm only going to read one place this evening. I'd like to turn, or at least that's my intentions. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the second chapter. I'd like to begin reading in verse 1. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And that's my text this evening. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But I'd like to read a few more verses. "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." So I'd just like to ask that you consider what we say this evening, and the Lord give you understanding. "No man," in verse 4 said, "that warreth, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." In our United States, we feel that we should have a volunteer army for voluntary military, and that we have provision for instating a draft, and it has been instated in the past, but our country likes to operate. Not all countries work this way. There's a number of countries that when a person turns a certain age or completes a certain level of schooling, they are mandatory that they serve 2 years in the military. But we're not that way here in the United States, at least not right now. So it's a choice to decide who you're going to be a soldier for, or if you're going to be a soldier. And I would like to think that all of us here have decided to be a soldier for Jesus Christ. That first verse, third verse says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Most of the time when you enlist in the service, our military, you enlist for a minimum of 2 years, and then at the end of 2 years it can be re-enlisted. I'm not sure what the correct term it is, but there's been people that served two or three decades in the military and went up in rank and become leaders and commanders and sergeants and all kinds of different levels of rank. I'm not a military expert. I just know that there has been many people that have retired from the military. I've known some of them personally. And I think that they would tell you that being a soldier is not a vacation. And they would probably tell you that that it's not just fun and games, that it's serious. And I believe that Paul had that in mind. I believe he thought that being a soldier for Jesus Christ was a serious thing, that it was a vocation, not a vacation. You know the difference there. It's an obligation. There's a lot of responsibility. And so I think about what it means to be a soldier for Christ. And I realize when we get to the end of life's way, we have to be right. We have to be right. I had a neighbor that I talked to the day before he passed away, and he'd asked me to speak at his memorial service, and I told him I was happy to do that. We'd had a good relationship, and he had a great level of appreciation of what we were trying to do in life, and had supported us, and I had respect for his personal convictions, and I believe he was a good man. And so I went to him that day, just the day before. He told me, he said, or he had asked one of his boys to call me and said, tell Dan to come by. It's no hurry. but come by. I'd like to talk to him a little bit before I think I'm getting close to the end. And I went by the next morning, and I'm glad I did, because that was the last time, that was my last opportunity. He passed away the next morning. So I was talking to him, and I said, Glenn, I said, I want you to, I said, is there anything that you need to make right with the Lord before you go? And he said, Dan, I don't know of anything, but he said, I've never done this before. You know, many times we have an opportunity to practice a little bit things in life, and we can practice maybe making biscuits, or we can practice playing ball or something like that, and get proficient at something, and then call in somebody and try to impress them or do a good job. But we don't get any practice shots. We have to be right. So it's serious. When I get to the end of my life's way, it's not going to be, it'll be good enough. I've got to be right. Just thinking about the times that we have sent astronauts out into outer space, and many times the things that they send into outer space has never been there before. It's not like they send a trial run. They have tested and checked and inspected, and everything they've done, and you know, the risk of failure is costly. You know, I heard something recently about that space shuttle that took off and exploded in the sky, Challenger, I believe. And they traced it back, and they felt like it was a failure of an O-ring. And most of us know here that have worked on things, we know an O-ring can be a pretty a small part. I don't know how big this O-ring was. It might have been an O-ring that was around the whole fuel cell. I don't know. But it was an O-ring. It wasn't a piece of steel. It wasn't a igniter assembly. It wasn't a computer. It wasn't a wiring harness. It was just an O-ring. It cost a lot of lives, and there was a lot of expense that just burned up in the sky. And there was a lot of heartache. And, you know, there's no second chances at making heaven. There's people that's taught some false doctrine in the past about praying people out of a place called purgatory. Without going into a lot of details, I'll just tell you that don't exist. We got one shot, and we got to be right. So, thinking about a soldier, a lot of times we think about a soldier and we think about combat, action, sneaking through the bushes and maybe dropping a bomb and strategic maneuvers and the putting plans into place. That's what we think about. But I want to think about something different today. So, did you know that soldiers train constantly? It's their life. It's their reality. It's the only thing that matters. Did you know there's people that enlist in the service and have retired from the service and have never engaged in a battle? And did you know it was not a vacation for them either? They trained constantly. They constantly were preparing to be their best. And if a crisis had have come on the horizon, they would have been ready. But there's people that has enlisted in the service and served for 2 decades and retired from the military and never engaged in any kind of battle, any type of conflict. They have, it's been a job for them, but they have trained constantly. What would it be like to have a job that you trained for 20 years and then retired? The reason that they train is because a moment of unpreparedness will cost them their life. A moment of being unprepared will cost them their life. Did you know a moment of being unprepared will cost us our life, our spiritual life? So thinking about a soldier, they start out with something we all know about. If we've ever even heard about it, our military, it's called basic training. And basic training is just the beginning. And they get out of basic training, and I don't even want to profess that I know all the different training modules that they go through. But they do combat training. They do special ops training. They do defense training. They do intelligence training. They do weapons training. That might be some included in basic training, but they know how to take their weapons apart and put them back together, probably almost blindfolded. They know those pieces, every one of them. They know, depending on the branch of service, they have a training for operating the equipment. They learn how to operate submarines and ships and airplanes and tanks and trucks and bulldozers, and they have training, 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 training. It's constantly training. They train for an infrastructure. You know, our military can move in to where there's nothing and set up shop, and they can have a fully operational city in a very short period of time. It's because they have a lot of training. It's because they have a lot of equipment. It's because they have the support of this nation. They can move in where there was no electricity and have electricity. They can move into where there was no plumbing and have plumbing, and where there were no roads and make roads. And they can set it up to where they have a hospital and a communication network and all of that. Years ago, it was Morse code. And then they had radios, and now who knows what kind of level of communication they have. But there's training for all of that. So what's different about being a Christian and being a soldier? You know, there's people that has given their heart to the Lord and been a soldier all their life and never faced any real big battles. Maybe no real serious affliction until they got weak in old age and passed from this life. There's been people that's lived that way. There's been people that's had no real confrontations, and people maybe accusing them falsely, and they've never suffered a lot of things, but they've been soldiers. It's a different boss. Did you know that? Being a soldier for Christ, there's a different boss. There's a different battleground. There's a different objective, but there is the same level of intensity for being prepared, for training, and the level of complexity that goes into it. It's the same. I told my wife the other day, I was needing to do some studying, and not the scripture that evening. I was needing to study something else, and I was trying to figure out how to do something that was related to my occupation. And I told her, I said, I feel like I'm studying something all the time. I feel like there's something that I need to familiarize myself with. There's information I need to glean. There's data I need to sort out. I need to learn what's the technique. How do I do this and how do I do that? I told her, if I'm not studying the scripture, I'm studying something else. I feel like my brain is like a straw. I keep poking stuff in one end and stuff's going to fall out the other end sooner or later. It just can hold so much. But I just want to, you know, if your thoughts are about being a soldier is like, well, let's get our weapons and let's go face the enemy. Well, that's part of it. But would we send somebody out to the front lines that didn't have training? That'd be a horrible mistake, wouldn't it? It'd be a horrible mistake to send somebody out to tell them, go get in that tank and the enemy's coming. We got to get the tanks out there in the front or wherever. And they climb in there and they say, well, how do you turn this thing on? You know, look around. Well, just start flipping switches and see what happens. No, we don't. That's not what we want. We want somebody that knows how to operate the thing. We don't want somebody to get in the airplane and say, okay, where's the go button? You know, or how do I get this thing to start moving? We don't want that. We want somebody that's had training over and over. I know a man worked in the military. He was in the military until he retired. He retired from the military. He took a civilian job. You know what his civilian job was? Creating simulated training exercises for the military. That's been his whole life. He spent decades creating simulated training exercises for military personnel. So, my challenge is for us today is if you feel like you're constantly studying, you're constantly learning, you're constantly applying yourself and fine-tuning and polishing and whatever it is so that, no, I don't need to know how to, I don't have anybody knocking on my door wanting to convince me of a false doctrine today. But I tell you what, you do need to be, you need to be a soldier and be prepared. Lord, help us. Because somebody, somewhere along the line, is going to present some false doctrine. And we need to be prepared as much as we can. We may not be able to prepare for everything, but prepare for something. Be prepared to give an answer. Study, the scripture says, to shew ourselves approved before who? God, that's our boss, and man, the one that might be working for the enemy, even if he don't realize he is. There may be some training that we need to do to be prepared to face a temptation. You know, since the time that I was a young man, before I was even a teenager, to today, the communication, I know you younger people, you don't grasp it, because the communication has changed so dramatically. We used, in my house, we used a telephone very conservatively. You know, we were, anything outside of about a 6 mile radius, and that's, y'all don't laugh, six or seven miles was a long distance call. And we just didn't make any long distance calls. I mean, it needed to be a serious problem to call outside of our local calls. And we talk and communicate face call, FaceTime and video call, and I do it with my children. They want to show me something they're doing, and they got a question. Well, they video call me. Here you go. Look at this, Dad. And so I'm trying to tell them, no, move the camera over so I can see what you're doing there. You know, wasn't even possible. So all of this has changed. What are we going to do? How do we prepare for things? The enemy likes to use that too. You know, we are inundated, because communication is so available, we are inundated with advertisements today that are perfectly sized for you as an individual. They have all of this stuff out there that in technology, they know your gender, they know your approximate age, they probably know about where you live. We can't hide all of that. We just, you get on the internet and search for something two or three times, and they start drawing conclusions, and they start sending advertisements your direction. You get on my computer, you'll see what kind of advertisements they send towards me. I get on yours, I'll see what they send towards you. And there's some indicators there, whether we like it or not. You know, if we quit training and quit honing and quit cultivating our relationship and being a soldier, the enemy will get us. A moment can cost us our spiritual life. Lord, help us. Training is where the grind comes. The song said that they were going to press the battle on. You know, to be a soldier for the Lord, you're going to have to press on. My brother, sister, another song says, press on, my brother, sister. Press on in your training. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't allow the confrontation, don't allow the dripping of the enemy to deter us from having an appetite for training. If you're in any kind of field, if you don't, we could go around the room today and this evening, and I would guess that every one of us have learned something about the things that we do on a daily basis that we didn't know last year. It's a new, maybe it's new technology, maybe it's a new procedure, maybe it's a new tool or a new method, a new resource. We've learned something, and if we are going to stay at the forefront of being able to be productive in our temporal things, we have to do training. We have to be willing to adapt. I don't want to adapt to the enemy. I want to be trained and prepared to do battle with the enemy. If he presents false doctrine, if he presents temptation, if he presents some kind of emotional thing to me. I want to be, Lord, help us to be willing to do the training. You know, the scripture will help us. I know so many people want to say that it's archaic, it's old, it don't work anymore, but I believe it does. I believe it's alive. I believe there's health to us, and it's marrow to our bones. It'll give us the tools to be able to do battle when we need to do battle. But we're going to have to continually cultivate an appetite. We have to read. We have to consider what the scripture says. Just the little intricacies that we notice in the scripture, I believe the Lord can use those things to speak to us and help us to be trained a little bit better. So being a soldier, it's a lot more than getting on your horse and going out and fighting the enemy. Or whatever other modes of transportation you might think of. Most of being a soldier is training, and more training. It's constant. And you know, that's where Isaiah 28, verse 10, 11, 9, 10, 11, somewhere along in there, it talks about precept upon precept, line upon line. Precept is a concept. It's a fundamental bit of information. We add some information on other information, and we add some more to that, and more, and it's little by little. And that's how we become trained, where we can do battle, where we can operate the machinery, where we can set up the infrastructure. I want all of us here to be encouraged and be not weary in training. You pray for me.